It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen and home team.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every single day on this side of the dirt is a good day. Every day above ground is a good day. It is the home team on a Wednesday, just one day shy of the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. We got NFL news. We got MLB news. We got gambling scandals continued and getting worse. And we also got a two-man band on this Wednesday. It's Brother Love and your boy C-Cat, Christian Cat, who is now all in on the Hawaiian shirt thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Are you one of those guys that when you start to get into something, you go like all in? Like if you buy a Hawaiian shirt and you go, oh, you know what? Then all of a sudden you just go grab a bunch more all of a sudden. I do that. Like it's an addictive personality type.
Premature overcommitment.
That's what you do. Yeah, I do
yes.
It too.
I have done that last night. Yes.
I do it too. You're not fat yet, though.
Not yet. We're going to get there, though.
You're working on it. Well, mm-hmm. You know what? If you're trying to get fat, that's a lot better than trying to get skinny.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, you know, depending on the people, you see sometimes habitually skinny people that try to gain weight
sure.
And can't.
But I'm saying, you'd rather in life be tasked with trying to get fat than you would trying to get unfat.
I guess so,
because
yeah.
Getting fat tastes better. Getting fat is more fun and enjoyable. And then trying to get unfat is actually work and effort and discipline.
All of my weight gain goes straight to my belly. Like, I've got a beer gut, but I don't drink beer, and I don't understand why that's the case.
Uh-huh.
And I get made fun genetics. Of it relentlessly. Yeah.
It's just your genetics. The Shohei Ohtani drama continues. Save the drama for Ohtani. And there's plenty. We know the story. Everybody knows what, thus far, we know from 1 week ago. The former translator giving a statement, the next day coming back, changing a statement. And then just on Monday afternoon late, Shohei Ohtani addressing the media, not taking questions, but reading a statement that said, I did not know that he was betting. He took money from my account. He did that. I had no knowledge of it. I've never bet. I've never had anybody bet for me. I've never dealt with a bookmaker whatsoever. So those stay what they've been since they were told to us. Obviously, we've done the math. The statement and the conflicting statement, one of them can't be true, doesn't mean the other one is. What Ohtani said doesn't necessarily mean that it's true either. But this is the part where it becomes a little bit more mysterious. And by that I mean, this is a piece in which we go, huh, why might that be? According to ESPN, Tisha Thompson, who's been on this story since the beginning, in fact, I believe she broke the story, with some help from Paula Levine. Quote, Dodger superstar Shohei Ohtani's representatives declined again Tuesday to answer ESPN's questions about which authorities they have contacted to report their allegation of theft against Ohtani's former interpreter. Again, listen closely. Ohtani's representatives declined, and they write, again Tuesday to answer ESPN's questions about which authorities have been contacted to report their allegations of theft against Ohtani's former interpreter. Because on the surface, you'd say, well, they're not talking. What's news about that? You know, they're not adding to the story. What's the big deal? No comment. They refuse to participate. There's an investigation. It's not about that, kids. This is not about the gambling. This is not about the payments made to the bookmaking operation. This is not about any of that. What Ohtani and his camp told us and doubled down on Monday is that They, meaning Ohtani and his finances, were the victim of massive theft. That the $4.5 million that was wired in $500,000 increments from his personal bank account into the bank account of a Orange County bookmaking operation, they had no knowledge of. Those payments, that money was stolen, they claim, from Ohtani without his knowledge. He didn't approve it. He wasn't aware of it. He had no idea it even happened. Okay. And they said that they were handing it to authorities, turning it over to investigate because they want justice, not just to clear his name, obviously, but we have been the victim of massive theft. Quote, Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft and we are turning the matter over to authorities. That's the statement. That's the statement that was issued by Shohei Ohtani's lawyers. Well, story continues. When asked yesterday to provide proof that Ohtani or his representatives had reported the theft to an investigating agency, police department, sheriff's department, IRS, Homeland Security, FBI, whoever. When asked to provide proof that they had reported, a spokesman for Ohtani declined to comment. Again, it gets a little bit more mysterious. Because why wouldn't a spokesperson tell you,
yeah,
oh no, we've reported this crime to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, to the state of California, wire fraud investigation, to the FBI. They, again, refuse to comment, declined to comment. All you're asking is, who did you report the theft to? And it turns out they're not talking. Why would that be? The story continues. ESPN received no confirmation from any of the likely local, state, or federal agencies that could investigate allegations of theft that they received a report from Ohtani's camp. So any of the likely agencies, local, state, or federal, that could, that would have jurisdiction or have legal grounds to be involved investigating this alleged theft, none of them received a report. Because what happens is, Tisha Thompson is a good journalist. And she went and said, hey, who'd you report the crime to? And Ohtani's lawyers are like, we're not talking about that. We have no comment on that. We refuse to comment on that. And then you do when you call and you contact the local law enforcement and the state law enforcement and the federal law enforcement. Did they report a theft? Did they? No, we don't have anything either. Do you understand now why this has gotten trickier?
Yeah.
You understand why?
Absolutely. I mean, when I lost my wallet, when I visited Miami before I lived here, I lost my wallet and I had to make a...
Why does it sound like you to visit Miami and lose your wallet? Because it wasn't stolen?
That's the thing. I had to claim it was stolen,
uh-huh,
get a case card with a signature of the police department in the area, and I had to show that to TSA.
Did you get it stolen? Was it stolen?
I had to be. It had to be stolen. I looked around there for like 30 minutes, right, and I never found it. Why? I had to show it to TSA. Yeah. See, I reported my wallet stolen. That's why I don't have any identification to get me back to New York.
Right.
So it's kind of that line of thinking. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt in the situation, not to jump in and incriminate somebody and try to point the finger and say, this is why, I had a feeling about this.
I
can't find a reason why you wouldn't do it.
We don't know what happened. As I said yesterday, we've talked about many times. The only thing we know for certain is that there were transfers of money, $500,000 at a time, from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to this bookmaking operation. That was confirmed by and revealed by the investigation done by IRS Homeland Security because they're busting a major gambling ring. They didn't expect to find Shohei Ohtani's name on transfers. They didn't expect for that to be on wires. That's an inconvenient truth. This is bad. And this gets worse when you claim that you are the victim of theft and yet you've taken no step to report that theft. So initially, we had a translator saying, I got in trouble betting on the sports, and I was in way over my head, and I have a problem. And I needed to send money to pay off the bookies. And I finally had to tell Shohei, he agreed to help me. He sat there with me and helped me to transfer, to wire these funds. He did not want to give me these funds because he was afraid that I would gamble them away. I would make it worse. So we had to deal with that. Well, in doing that, you've now implicated Shohei Ohtani as being someone who just broke the CBA rules, the baseball rules about dealing in illegal activities, dealing in illegal bookmaking. So then the next day, remember, being a week ago today, as a matter of fact, feels longer ago, the former translator comes back, Ipe is his name, comes back and says, I lied. I lied about the whole thing. I took the money out of his accounts. I wired the money. He didn't know anything about it. Okay. All right. That's what you claim happened. Then he gets fired, and then he's out the picture, and then we hear from Shohei and his team, victim of massive theft. So if you did, in fact, have your money stolen from you, and you were going to turn it over to the authorities, when were you planning on doing that exactly? Because I'm pretty sure if, in fact, you were the victim of massive theft, $4.5 million, but more than that, because worth more than the $4.5 million is Ohtani's credibility, his brand, and his status in baseball. That's worth much more than $4.5 million. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or even your security, knowing that someone got into your accounts somehow. There was an investigation. If someone stole $5 from you, you saw a random charge for $5 to your account, okay, you don't really need the $5 back, but you need to know how that happened and prevent it from happening in the future.
But what I'm saying is, if you're not concerned about the $4.5 million, that's fine. But you understand that by not having a bad guy found, you are creating significantly greater damage to your brand, to your name, to your status, not just in Major League Baseball, but globally in baseball. So it's most important to identify the fact that not filing charges, not turning, claiming theft, not saying this man stole from me, not doing that makes you look really, really, really bad. Because why would you not? Well, there's a couple reasons why you would not. Can you think of any reason why you would not claim that a man stole from you? Can you think of reasons why?
One reason why the story that's being told and was told yesterday isn't 100% accurate and won't hold up in court.
So in other words, we don't want to falsely report a crime that wasn't committed.
Right.
Because that's a problem.
Massive problem. Big, big trouble. A lot of hands in that situation that
lawyers,
will get cooked.
Right. Who wants to be the one that goes to the feds and says just what we said in the media, just what we said on ESPN? The former translator, he stole these funds. He took them from us. He need to be prosecuted. Who wants to do that if, in fact, it never happened?
Nobody.
Because now you're on the line for false reporting of crime and other, I don't know California law. I barely know Florida law. I'm just saying, you can't claim crimes happened that didn't when you know for certain that they didn't.
For sure.
It's as bad as committing the crime itself. Why has there been no turnover? And I don't just mean based on they didn't tell ESPN.com's Tisha Thompson and Paul Levine. You know, I get like we have no comment. We're not commenting on that. But when they took it upon themselves to go to law enforcement and ask accordingly, why has no one recognized or said, yes, we have a complaint. Yes, we have a file. Yes, we have allegations that came from their camp. There's an investigation. Baseball's conducting an investigation. Homeland Security, the IRS, they're investigating the former translator, Ipe Mitsuhara, and also, obviously, investigating the alleged bookmaker in the situation, Matthew Boyer. They're not worried about that. They're not involved in Shohei's $4.5 million theft. You know why?
Why?
Because Shohei and them have not told anybody we got stolen from. They only told the media.
Right.
They only told us. What is the end game here? Because I'm thinking from my public relations and crisis management college. I mean, when I was in college, I was a mass communication major. And I was mostly interested in advertising, corporate advertising, marketing, PR, contingency planning. I wasn't interested in being on-air TV guy. That's what I became. And then becoming on-air radio guy. And that's what became after TV guy. I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in the meetings and the PR spin and how you handle crises. What is it like right now for those guys? I mean, I get the feeling the hope is that they're going to have long drawn out investigations that then lead to things being changed and dates being postponed and hoping that eventually people forget about this.
Yeah.
Baseball does not want to know anything. Baseball is not out to get a bad guy, to punish anyone. Baseball would love to do that if this were some spring training kid who didn't make the majors roster and they could pin it on him.
Make an advantage out of him?
Example.
League does not change if make an this example second string guy is ousted out of the league and punished.
Baseball would love to play the hero and look at we're protecting and we're following the law and we're serious about this, but not when it is your number one guy. This reminds me of the Jimmy Jones. Jimmy Jones. There's a little Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, you know, the JJs combined. This reminds me of the old Jimmy Johnson, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, situation in which during film study, team meeting, a player fell asleep and Jimmy fired him. Jimmy caught him on the spot. He said, get your stuff. You're cut. Go in front of everybody. Didn't like later on bring him in the office. Didn't call the agent. Cut him on the spot. And somebody asked Jimmy Johnson, you know, because Jimmy said, we don't do that. That's not the Cowboy way. That's not how we do. That's not what I expect. My team will not do that. And somebody asked Jimmy, well, what if it was Michael Irvin? And Jimmy said, well, I'd have nudged him and said, wake up.
Right.
Because it's not the same for everybody. There's not a worse player or coach or manager or broadcaster. The only person that would be worse than Ohtani in this spot is the commissioner. As far as anyone who puts on a uniform, he's the worst person to be involved in this. And they've made it so much worse. They've made it so much worse by having an official spokesman with the former interpreter give a statement on Tuesday, come back with a totally different story on Wednesday, then show up Monday afternoon reading a statement that doubled down on the fact that they were victims of theft, only for us to find out that nobody has actually filed, claimed, or in any way complained of actually a crime being committed. That's a problem.
That's a big problem. Because another option I'm thinking as to why you wouldn't actually release how you reported to the authorities is that they don't want ePay to get in that much trouble. Because after all, $4.5 million for Shohei Ohtani, who signed that $700-plus million deal and has a lot of money outside of baseball involved as well. They are friends, and they don't want to get them in that much trouble.
It seems like they're painting, and this may be cooperatively now, former interpreter to be the fall guy, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be the fall guy. So Mitsuhara may be falling on the sword. Okay, that's great and all. But I had this conversation with the Colombiana last evening, and I'll have it with you. You understand that people oftentimes confess to crimes they did not commit.
Right.
Right. And you understand that people oftentimes are convicted of crimes that they did not commit.
Yeah.
And people oftentimes confess to crimes and are convicted of crimes that they did not commit. There's a difference between I didn't do it, nobody believes me, and you get convicted, as opposed to I didn't do it, but I'm going to say I did do it, and I'm going to go do the time. Take the weight, as the wise guys used to say. In Cosa Nostra, in mafia life, in mob life, oftentimes you need a fall guy. And so there's a sentence coming up. Maybe it's going to be 4 to 6 years in the penitentiary. And so you got a guy who's going to take the weight. He's going to be the fall guy because we need somebody. You're the one. You're the guilty one. Okay. And away you go. And what happens is his family gets taken care of while he's away. And then when he gets out, he's quote unquote made whole, meaning that you're paid for your loyalty. You're paid for your service, for doing the time for somebody else. That's more important. That's higher on the rankings. It's like a rookie hazing. You get to go to prison for so-and-so instead. Just because you said, well, they don't want him to get into too much trouble. You understand that Mitsuhara, the former translator, he can say, I stole this money. He already has. And you can have Ohtani say, he stole this money. He already has. And you can have Mitsuhara claim, listen, I did a bad thing. He can put his hands together and say, put the cuffs on me. And that will not appease, you understand, the authorities. Because just because they're claiming, well, I'm the one that committed the theft, doesn't mean there won't be an investigation to see if, in fact, that's true. Because the cops aren't looking for a body to go, oh, you're the one that did the illegal wire. The cops, law enforcement, the IRS, Homeland Security, they're interested in the truth. I know that sounds crazy. It's not a case of, well, you're the one? Okay. No. It is, who actually did this? And from the looks of it right now, it doesn't really add up that this man committed the theft without any knowledge, without any assistance from Shohei Ohtani. And I say that because they haven't actually told the authorities, filed with the authorities, that a crime took place. And there's a number of reasons, as we had just noted, why you would not do that. So just to simplify what I just said, the former translator, Mitsuhara, can claim, I stole this money, he knew nothing about it. And Ohtani can say, he's right, he's telling the truth. He stole the money. See, he just told you that. I had nothing to do with it. It doesn't mean what they're saying is the truth. And that wouldn't be enough for the authorities to say, good enough for us, lock him up, charge him. What they are interested in is, no. What really did happen here? Because here's the problem. You could say, potentially, theoretically, those confirmation text messages on the wire are going to go to Mr. Ohtani's phone. Do you have access to his phone? How do you have access in the first place to his banking? What information? You got to know his mother's maiden name and his password and his name of his first pet, the street he grew up on, the first car. Wiring $500,000 is from person to person is really stupid and really, really difficult. And it immediately causes flags to be raised. I don't mean hypothetically. I mean, literally, it triggers automated flags in banking that Homeland Security and the IRS become aware of immediately. So were they dumb to wire? Yes, obviously. But they seem to be getting dumb to dumber. You can't claim, you can claim in the media that you were stolen from, and you can claim in the media that you stole from the man. But has Mitsuhara turned himself in?
No.
Has a crime been committed? Not according to Ohtani and his lawyers, at least not to law enforcement. They told the media that's the case. You see where we are today as opposed to yesterday?
Yeah, it changes everything, right? You kind of lose a lot of the benefit of the doubt. Where's the cold, hard report? It's almost like the justice system is looking for justice, the truth, not justice for the perceived victim in the situation.
Correct. They're not looking to help these guys out. They're not looking. The Homeland Security and the IRS are not looking to help these guys out with their little cover conceal story. As I always say, and I'll repeat it again, young people, if you're out there listening or watching on YouTube, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. If you'd made a mistake, if you did something wrong, it's much better to address it than it is to try and cover it. Because the cover-up rarely goes well, and when it gets exposed, it's twice as bad. Because not only did you commit the crime and do the wrong thing, and in other words, if you punched a hole accidentally in the drywall, in the living room of your home, don't go hang a picture over it and think that when mom gets home, you're like, look, I got this picture. I thought it was beautiful. Because she's going to say, all right, take the picture off. And there's going to be a giant hole in the wall. You just hit it head on. Mom did something really stupid. Was playing ball in the house. Put a hole in the drywall. I'll ground myself. How do we get this fixed? I'll pay for it. I made a terrible mistake. I'm sorry. Own it. These guys are—they're going the wrong direction. They're going the wrong way, as the late great John Candy said in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. yelling at the people across the way, yelling at them, you're going the wrong way. How do they know where we're going? Well, sounds to me like Ohtani and his camp are going the wrong way, and they themselves don't know where they're going, because this may seem like simple, innocent, little nothing news today, but it's much, I'm telling you, ESPN, quote, received no confirmation from any likely local, state, or federal agencies that could investigate allegations of theft that they received a report from Ohtani's camp. When asked to provide proof that Ohtani or his representatives had reported the theft to an investigating agency, sheriff's department, police department, DEA, IRS, Homeland Security, bank fraud, FDIC, a spokesperson for Ohtani declined to comment.
Like you said, the only thing we know for a fact is the $500,000 rounds of wire transfers to the book.
Nine of them. Because it takes eight to get to $4 million, and then you got another one on top of that. Nine separate transfers, wires of $500,000 fired off from Ohtani's bank account. How does the translator have access to that? And with that said, say he did get it. That's not my problem, not my issue. The issue is, why are you not reporting the crime? Why are you not reporting a crime? And you say, well, you don't want to get the translator in too much trouble. That's not it. It's because you don't want to be exposed that you're lying about a crime that never happened, and also bringing him into that, even though he confessed to a crime he likely did not commit. People go, why would you confess to a crime that you did not commit? I just told you why. They're in it together. Obviously. I'm not here to speculate. We're just giving you the why would you. Here's the reason why. Why would you? It's not the explanation. It's a reason. It's not the explanation. We have proof of nothing. All we know is that the wires were sent from his account to the bookmaker. The claims that I did it, oh, he did it, they mean nothing until you tell the authorities, he says he did it, he did do it, look, go do something about this. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy.
Okay, just so checking.
We know that's a fact, the transfers. And the other thing we know is a fact is how they're choosing to handle it. We're just seeing exactly. They chose to go into that press conference, say what they said. They chose to say, we're not going to provide any proof of our reporting to the authorities. And everything after those transfers isn't a shining endorsement on the innocence of Ohtani in this situation.
The $4.5 million that got stolen allegedly and then was wired, that's not worth nearly as much as Ohtani's brand, his name, his innocence. And you can do a great deal to protect all of that by saying, officers, he confessed, go arrest that man. But the problem is, when they go arrest that man, there's an investigation. Why does it need to be an investigation? He confessed to it. Well, we need to find out exactly what really happened. Again, people confess all the time to crimes they did not commit. I know it sounds stupid, because more so, people deny crimes they did commit. We get it. But there is a percentage of the time in which someone confesses to a crime that they did not commit because it's part of a larger plan, a conspiracy. I don't mean conspiracy, a conspiracy theory. I mean conspiracy meaning more than one person is in on a secret plan. This gets worse by the day. And this today is worse than anything in the last several days. This today, this revelation from last night that they haven't filed. Because Ohtani, when he met with the media on Monday, could have said what he said, exactly what he said. And then could have turned things over to so-and-so from bank fraud division, state of California, from the FBI, from Homeland Security, who said, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Special Agent so-and-so, Homeland Security, California, Los Angeles, Bank Division Crime. There's a whole thing with the IRS. We have received a complaint that a wire fraud, that bank theft has occurred. From Ohtani, he is alleging that Mitsuhara stole this money from him. So an active investigation is underway, and we are searching for evidence as we speak. There's none of that, because they don't want law enforcement involved.
And with having to back up and prove that this theft did occur, I think it's another thing.
Think
you
about
said there's
that.
9 separate wire transfers. You have to prove
at least
that 9 of those, at least the alibis, right? If those were at different times or different locations, you had to prove that Shohei Ohtani was not where those IP addresses, wherever that came from exactly.
They have no interest in proving that the crime was committed. When's the last time somebody who was victimized had no interest in having it proved the crime was committed? When is the last time that someone who had stolen from them millions of dollars had no interest in seeing to it that the crime was proven to have been committed?
Because proving it committed, like you said, money is the money, whatever. It's about clearing your name.
He's not interested in doing it.
No, and that's the one surefire way.
You know the old rock in a hard place? The dilemma, by the way, we misuse it. I misuse it all the time. A dilemma is supposedly a difficult choice between two bad options. I didn't know that. I thought a dilemma was just like uncertainty about something. By its definition, dilemma means like, all right, which way would you rather die? Like, if you stay here, you burn to death. And if you don't, well, then this, you know, then you get shot in the head. They're both terrible. That's like a dilemma. That's a dilemma. These dudes, Ohtani and his camp, appear to be in a real dilemma because this is really bad, option A, but option B is even worse. Like, where do we go from here? Until somebody, I don't care if you tell the media, he stole from me. And I don't care if the dude that you said stole from you tells the media, I stole from him. Until the police, the sheriffs, the IRS, Homeland Security, bank fraud, whomever, until they are told that dude stole from me or I stole from him. Because even if Mitsuhara says, yeah, I stole from him, investigate me. Well, the problem is he probably already knows that investigation is going to reveal that he didn't.
Yeah.
You see where this is heading.
I can't help but think and speculate that they're biting off more than they can chew when they sent out the second statement. I said it was fraudulent, it was theft, it was a heist and all that. If they try to roll with the punches and cut their losses, we use that term a lot as well. If they cut the losses after the first claim
right. That
Shohei was helping out his friend. He did something illegal.
It's bad.
It's bad.
But now it gets worse.
Yeah.
That's why the cover-up is always worse than the crime. Just take the crime, man. Just take the crime. Coming up when we return, speaking of gambling and scandals, why the NBA should be very worried, to another level. Meanwhile, the president of the NCAA, and we are just 27 hours away from the return of the madness that is the month of March. President of the NCAA is calling for a nationwide ban on what? Might actually be a good idea. We'll explain why when we come back. First, though, Anajar and Levine are accident attorneys. And if you've been in an accident, car accident, truck accident, slip and fall, trip and fall, medical malpractice, call Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. A, you'll always talk to an attorney about your case. B, consultation's absolutely free. C, they will fight for you to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. And remember, they don't get paid unless you get paid. And they're going to help you to take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Sometimes people get into accidents or they got worker comp issue and they think they'll deal with it on their own. You can't. You really can't. That's why you call Anajar and Levine so they can handle everything. And you can take back control of your life. 800-747-FREE. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Take back control of your life. The NBA is and should be very worried. More details coming up in a sec. It's the Home Team on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
Like Phil Collins saying, once upon a time, another day in paradise for you and me. Here from the heart of West Palm Beach, in the center of Rosemary Square, our ESPN West Palm state-of-the-art brand new studios. We are live worldwide on the ESPN app. We are live worldwide on any and every smart speaker, every Google Home device, every Alexa, Echo, Dot, Show, whatever you got, just tell it, play ESPN West Palm, and we will stream live. As well as we are live on YouTube on the ESPN West Palm Play channel, where you can watch C-Cat and I today, live in Stu Stu Studio, which is a takeoff of Susu Studio, another Phil Collins.
Ah.
A lot of Phil Collins references in this bit right here. Coming up in a second, the president of the NCAA has called for an absolute ban on what? This might actually be a good idea. We'll find out what that is coming up in just a second. First, though, Miami Marlins baseball back tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Opening day in baseball is tomorrow. C-Cat's got the details.
Man, few things get me going like Major League Baseball.
I love opening day, and I love the last week of the regular season.
I love it all.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah. You're there the whole time.
Probably you as well.
Yep, I mean, you're there the whole time.
Marlins baseball is back. It's better than ever. Skip your other plans. Marlins baseball is the biggest party in the 305. They face off against the Pirates in their opening series of the season. Opening day is tomorrow. That's March 28th, of course. Already pop it up on your calendar. 4:10 p.m. first pitch at Lone Depot Park. Get your tickets now at marlins.com/tickets. Again, that's marlins.com/tickets. Series coming up including the Angels, the Braves, the Giants. Take advantage of their Marlins promotions throughout the season. We're talking Burger and Beer Friday, Taco Tuesdays, and more.
All-you-can-eat seats.
I'm glad you brought that up, Josh.
All-you-can-eat seats.
And we're talking hot dogs, chili dogs, burgers, more snacks, non-alcoholic drinks, all-you-can-eat seats for $52. Go check out info about that also on Marlins.com. It is a good day to be a baseball fan.
It is. I love opening day, and I love the last week of the season. I watch baseball through the summer, but I'm not locked in. Like, opening day is a national holiday. Opening day of baseball feels like a national holiday. It feels like Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last week of the season, when it's like, ooh, they got to win to get it. They got to hold them off. Then it gets super exciting. Baseball in October, though, there's few things that are better.
Yeah, tense, man. You like tennis because everything is fourth down.
Everything matters.
Baseball,
every point matters.
Every baseball feels that way in October.
Baseball's so much better now because of rule changes. Baseball's so much better now because of just simply the pitch clock. Yeah. And the elimination of the shift. Like, if you haven't watched baseball in a couple years, it's a different game now. It's much more interesting and exciting to watch pitch by pitch now. So, shout out to baseball for fixing it and getting it right and realizing they can't stay the old ways. We were talking about gambling scandals. Shohei Ohtani in that situation. Well, you probably heard the Toronto Raptor player, DeJuan Porter, and the allegations that he may have intentionally taken himself out of games so that the over-under on prop plays involving him would not hit. They would be under winners instead of it going over the number. And that there were irregularities involved with the amount of money being bet and the amount of money coming on specific bets. The irregularities that caused these props to be flagged by a national sports book. And the people that bet on it, well, obviously they all won, but it became the most profitable of any action in the entire NBA for those two nights in question. One was a week ago tonight, and one was back in January, I believe January 20th. Yesterday, David Dennis Jr. on Around the Horn did a really nice job of summarizing what the hell this is all about and why this could be absolutely devastating for our beloved NBA. Take a listen.
I happen to think this is a huge crisis for the NBA, and the players and coaches themselves are raising the flag about this. You had the coach in Cleveland talk about getting threats over this. You had Halliburton talking about how he feels like a prop in these situations at the same time where League Pass is rolling out, where if I watch the game on the app, I can put bets all as I'm doing that come straight out of my account. There is no reason that you should be able to make a prop bet on somebody who's making $400,000 who has, you know, minimal impact on the game, where he can can just go out there and do whatever he wants to do to make people money. That for even making $400,000, these are huge $20,000, $30,000 bets that are a huge percentage of the money that he is making. So there is a risk reward to this. And either NBA is lucky that he got caught because these were such big bets. These were such egregious moves. But if you're playing garbage time for 5 minutes in the fourth quarter and you want to get just two rebounds and your buddy wants to bet the under, there's no way the NBA can regulate this. They have to figure this out immediately.
Yeah, they do. And he said risk reward. And that's what it comes down to. Because people have said to me for years, oh, the NFL, those games are rigged, they're fixed, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're telling me that there are dudes. First of all, NFL game, you need cooperation. You need teammate cooperation, unless you're the quarterback. If you're the quarterback, you can throw picks, you can fumble, you can make certain balls aren't completed. You really go out of your way. Doesn't mean the defense still won't score on pick six and fumble returns and screw your whole plan. Tennis, there have been matches that have been rigged. Boxing, MMA, individual sports, very easy to do. It's an individual deciding I'm going to lose on purpose.
Yeah, there's no checks and balances.
The only time I can think of where somebody decided they were going to lose on purpose, the only time I can think of somebody deciding that they were going to lose on purpose, which, by the way, in America is a felony. It's punishable by prison time. Only instance I can think of someone deciding they were going to lose on purpose, agreeing to lose on purpose, so that other criminal elements could bet on their opponent was the time that Dean Thomas coached a UFC fighter in Asia. Dean's fighter was facing a man who they didn't know had agreed to lose the fight on purpose and who'd bet his own show money on himself to lose the fight. But because Dean is such a remarkable and incredible coach and motivator, the fighter who bet on himself and had organized crime betting on him to lose wound up beating Dean's fighter.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up.
No.
When Dean told me this story, I thought he was joking. Apparently, that fighter had a change of heart somewhere along the line. He got cut. His purse got revoked. He went to prison. Imagine you're coaching a fighter. That's story time, by the way. Story time today was being presented by Brain Matters Research, making your memories matter. This has to be a great memory for Dean. Imagine you're coaching a fighter in a UFC fight in Asia, and you're facing a dude who's trying to lose on purpose, and that dude still beats you. Is that a better way for me to say it? Does that make more sense that way?
Yeah, now it makes sense.
Okay.
So Dean's didn't do a great job in preparing
his
own
fighter. It's not Dean's fault. It's not Dean's fault. But I promise you this. If Dean were the one fighting that fight, the dude still would have won. No, I'm just kidding. Story time presented by Brain Matters Research. Listen, guys. Getting older, some say it kind of sucks. But getting older beats the alternative. As we all get older, certain things obviously come with the aging process. One of those things, unfortunately, is memory diseases. And that means dementia, and that can mean Alzheimer's, a leading form of. If you're 50 and over, you should be having quick memory screenings as part of your annual checkups anyway. So you should be doing this. If you're not 50 and over, good news. You know people, you love people who are. What Brain Matters Research does is, at no cost to you whatsoever, quick memory screening to see whether or not you would qualify to participate in a study. There are two FDA-approved treatments that show significant progress in issues involving dementia and Alzheimer's. You see, it used to be you didn't want to know because nothing could be done, but now something can be done. So, of course, you want to know. Locations, Treasure Coast and the Palm Beaches. No cost to you. In fact, you'll be compensated for your time and your travel if you do participate in the study. Okay? There's nothing they do that could cost you any money. Just the other way around. Only stuff they can do that could actually earn you money. Go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com. It's plural. Memoryscreenings, with an S, Florida.com. Brain Matters Research. Wonderful people doing amazing work. Making your memories matter. Meanwhile, the president of the NCAA is calling for a nationwide ban on what? You know the answer to this question, don't you?
What the hell did you just say?
I sure do, man.
What is the answer?
He wants to ban prop bets altogether.
For college athletes across the country, prop bets means it's not who wins the game, it's not by how much, it's not how many points. A prop bet is, say, for example, Caitlin Clark, over under 24 and a half points in this next game.
Yeah.
That's a prop bet. He wants, the president of the NCAA wants, an end to all college prop bets because, A, they are the most at risk. They are the most easy to manipulate. You're not affecting the outcome of the game, just individual performance levels. So it might be a case of a running back in a college football game, over under 53 and a half yards. Well, this is somebody, you know, who may be trying his damn well best, but he trips and slips and he winds up a yard short of the number. And now he's getting DMs from grown men and women around the country saying you should kill yourself or I'm going to kill you or you're a piece of bleep bleep, couldn't even bleep bleep. It's unnecessary pressure. It is really, really toxic and negative. But more so, it does open the door to, well, messing with the integrity of the game. And not necessarily winning or losing, but the we've seen this with fantasy football in the NFL for years, where a running back lays down at the one-yard line. We had it in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Super Bowl was won the same way last year, with somebody not scoring on purpose going down so you could kick a field goal, win the game, so the other team couldn't get the ball. Kansas City did it in the AFC Championship game, then they did it to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, if you remember correctly. College athletes don't need to be subjected to people offering them or them taking upon themselves. So they are a very vulnerable group, and there's far too many of them, and you could bet on some dude from some random school in some game where we're still going to win, who cares, but I'm just going to make sure that I don't get over 53 and a half rushing yards.
Yeah.
Okay. President of the NCAA is calling for it to be banned. Our own Hard Rock Bet here in Florida, they got the right idea. They don't offer it. They don't. You take a look. You can't. So they got the right idea. I think that they're right. I think Hard Rock Bet is right. I think the president of the NCAA is right. We don't need to put props on college athletes and players in these games because of all the negative stuff that can come with it and all the dangers that can come to potentially compromise the integrity of the game. I think he's right.
I use this phrase maybe incorrectly before, but checks and balances. There's no way to prove a conversation was had and this guy didn't perform to his ability in that game. There's no way to prove that because it's just one person's performance in that game. And I agree with you. I think it's a little unnecessary. We don't need it.
Don't need it.
It leaves you very vulnerable.
Yeah. And there's way too much damage and come out of it as opposed to good that can come from it. So we'll leave it from there. Coming up when we return, who just offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to do what? And then who came in with $10 million of his money and said, no, 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 I'll give you $10 million if you do this for me. Caitlin Clark being propositioned millions of dollars by two high net famous individuals. And people are saying, I don't think that's appropriate. We'll tell you exactly what that is coming up in just a second. First, though, Truist, because when you start with care, you know what you get? You get better. I don't care if you got a bakery or a barbershop or a bank. When somebody cares about the work, customers and partners, they wind up getting better, whatever that service or good may be. And for Truist, that's banking, because it's not what people say that matters, it's what they do. Checking, savings, credit cards, mortgages, loans, investments, we all need them. Lots of places you can get them. So why would you not get them from a bank that shows in the community and small business people how much they care and shows that they want to treat you like a partner and have you grow your money and do better together? Visit a branch near you, check them out online, truist.com, and you will see for yourself. You start with care, you get different, you get better, you get a better bank, you get Truist. We're back in moments. Caitlin Clark offered $5 million by a famous individual to do what? Only to then get an offer for $10 million from another famous older man to do what? And these are public offerings. We'll tell you exactly what that is. It's the home team. Back in moments on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius. Essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet. Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
We are coming up on the top of the hour real quick, and it's time for me to remind you that this is ESPN 106.3, formerly known as WUUB. Jupiter to Cuesta is where Tower resides.
Yeah.
So we got that out the way. We got just a quick second. Someone offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to come do what? And then somebody came back, another celebrity, and said, no, I got $10 million. I'll double that offer. Not sure it's appropriate. But we'll find out what that is in just a second. Ed Morse Automotive Group. Ed Morse is the best. If you're looking to buy a car, a truck, an SUV, you got to remember that what you drive, it says a whole lot about you. And if you got the Ed Morse name on your vehicle, it already says you expect a lot, not just from your vehicle, but from the people that sold it to you. Ed Morse does not just sell cars and trucks and SUVs. They stand behind them. They stand behind the people. Each and every one of the more than 2 million people that drive Ed Morse vehicles. That's why the family-owned and operated Ed Morse Automotive Group of dealerships have been doing this since 1946. That's 70, now 8 years of dedication. Dedication to customers, dedication to communities. When Ed Morse says they got your back, you can believe them. Teddy Morse is a dear friend of mine. Trust me when I tell you, they are backing you every way along the way. Ed Morse proudly supports the Miami Dolphins. Make sure your next vehicle is backed by Morse. Visit edmorse.com today. Edmorse.com, because you are always backed by Morse. Caitlin Clark has been offered $5 million. By whom? To do what? To play in the Big Three Basketball League by Ice Cube. You heard what I said.
Damn!
That's partially Ice Cube.
Yeah, right there. Of
course. He and Chris Tucker together. $5 million. Quote, the skeptics laughed when we made Nancy Lieberman the first female coach of a men's pro team. And she won the championship in her first year. Then Lisa Leslie won it in year two. With our offer, Caitlin Clark can make history and break down even more barriers for women athletes. Well, that's great. The $5 million and the Big Three Basketball League offer, which, by the way, might actually coexist with WNBA. They're looking into that. But then somebody else came and said, no, I got $10 million for you. Who was that and what for?
The president of Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy. Offered
David Portnoy.
$10 million to play for Barstool Sports' intramural basketball league, men's league.
That's making a mockery. That's inappropriate. That's making a mockery. That's basically just saying, hey, imagine the numbers and streams and clicks we could get if we had you here playing in our intramurals and making all of our employees look bad. But it's making a mockery of the game and her skill set.
I think it's more Dave Portnoy saying, I'm rich. Remember, I'm rich. I can spend $10 million for my Dave's own enjoyment. Rich. I think that's what that is to me.
We know Dave's rich. Dave Portnoy, by the way, dog father now to Miss Peaches.
Yeah,
she sold hundreds of thousands of dollars of merchandise, which has benefited dog shelters and no-kill facilities around the nation. So they're doing some good, finally, over there at Barstool and my guy Dave Portnoy. Meanwhile, rookie salaries in the WNBA range from like $79,000 to $98,000. Just saying, by comparison. Not that this is about money. Trust me. Coming up, when we come back, it is the cocktail hour. And the Bears are on the clock. But somebody's saying that the quarterback you think is going shouldn't. And we got somebody else saying who you think the Bears are going to draft isn't necessarily what's actually going to happen. We got a little drama at number one in the NFL draft. We'll tell you what that is next. It is the home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.